You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. And we are back here. It is a Purple Friday episode for the Ravens. They are gearing up to take on the Kansas City Chiefs in week two, Sunday night football, a really big matchup for this team. The Ravens have not been able to beat Kansas City over their last three seasons. They played the Chiefs three times and lost all three games. And now, look, I know there's a lot of skepticism right now within the Ravens fan base. And look, there have been a bunch of injuries. They're figuring out how to work in new guys. They're figuring out who works, who doesn't work. There's a lot of moving parts right now for sure. But I still anticipate this could be a very good game. And the Ravens, they're going to be motivated. They understand that the Chiefs are a team that they want to beat. They've wanted to beat the Chiefs for a very long time. So here today, I do want to just dive into what has happened over the last 24, 36 hours, because there's been a lot of stuff that's been going on, especially with the Ravens' injuries. Obviously, it seems like injuries are just going to be a part of this season for the whole year for the Ravens. So it's just a lot. It's unfortunate, but there were a couple of news pieces, an injury report that came out, of course, and some practice squad protections that I do want to talk about here in this first segment. In the second segment, I do want to get into the full game preview. We'll talk about the offense in the second segment, the defense in the third segment. So there is a lot to talk about today. But again, first, if you are following along with us here on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe to the channel as well. If you're enjoying the content, it helps out the YouTube algorithm to get the show in front of more people. And also at 1,000 subscribers, I am thinking of doing something, and I am taking suggestions for what that might be. So if you do have any suggestions, you can hit me up on Twitter. You can put in your idea. You can message me, comment, tag me in a post, whatever you want to do if you have a suggestion for what I should do when this channel does reach 1,000 subscribers. If you're following along with us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts, be sure to follow the show, turn notifications on so you know when we put out our content. That is Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern time. And also be sure to follow me on Twitter at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we are going to jump right into it here. And let's start off with the Ravens and the news that has come out about this team. Over the last 24, 46 hours, the news notes and quotes section, the news notes and quotes segment, as I'll call it. And we'll get into the injury report first. I think that's the most important part here. Just looking through it, there are a bunch of injuries that are a little bit concerning. I'll read it off here. First, did not participate in practice on Thursday. Marquise Brown with an ankle injury. Pernell McPhee with a veteran day. Ronnie Stanley with an ankle injury. Chris Westry with a knee injury. And Derek Wolfe with a back and hip injury. And then the guys who were limited participants in practice, Devin Duvernay with a groin injury. Dalen Hayes with a knee injury. Marlon Humphrey with a back injury. And Jimmy Smith with an ankle injury. Now, what does all of this mean? Because it means a couple of things. For one, it was reported by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN that Chris Westry, the Ravens cornerback, has a torn lateral meniscus. Now, when you hear torn and you hear a ligament in there, it's not fun. You think, oh, this guy's out for the year. But actually, torn meniscus in general, that torn meniscus injury, depending on how serious it is, there are obviously a lot of things that we don't know yet, and the Ravens have obviously not announced that at this time. But it can be anywhere from a 4 to 8 week injury, which is honestly, you know, all things considered, not as bad as some people might have anticipated with a different type of injury. Marquise Brown with his ankle injury. Hopefully that's not a big concern. I think Friday's injury report will tell a lot in terms of his availability for Sunday night's game against the Chiefs. Ronnie Stanley with the ankle was reported by Jason Lockenfora that Ronnie Stanley, the Ravens are working through options with him, trying to figure out if he's going to be able to play, that he might not be available for the Kansas City game and potentially longer. Look, if I'm the Ravens, in all honesty, and there's a choice for me to make in terms of Ronnie Stanley is not 100% healthy. He goes out there in week one against the Raiders, obviously struggles a lot. I'm not putting him out there until he's 100% healthy because, one, the play that you get out of Ronnie Stanley, we saw what it was when he's not healthy, if that actually is the case. Now, he's obviously working his way back. It's going to take a bit of time for him to figure stuff out, you know, get back on the playing every week grind, and just doing that's understandable, right? But if he's not healthy and they're putting him out there on that ankle and they know that he's not healthy, I think that I'd just shut him down until he's ready, because one, you're getting less good play out of him and you're obviously putting out a product in Stanley that is not fully there yet, and thus the play on the field is probably going to drop off a little bit. And then in the second part of that, you have a guy who you're risking an injury with, because if he's out there, you know, he's hobbling a little bit, one bad play, right? A play in the NFL, a practice, whatever, something like that can result in an injury. So if I'm the Ravens, I'm probably just putting Ronnie Stanley on the shelf if he actually is not healthy 100% at this point, until he actually is there and he feels comfortable enough on that ankle to get back to what he is and what we all know that he can actually be. Now, Derek Wolfe has been held out of practice for weeks now. He is probably not going to play on Sunday night unless he does make a return to Friday's practice. And maybe that is the case, but at the time of this recording, I just do not know yet. And then also, just, you know, looking at Chris Westry, he's probably not going to be there. But looking at the other guys who were limited, Devin Duvernay reportedly, according to Jeff Rebeck at The Athletic, left practice early. And that's a big deal, because one, if he's not able to suit up, that's another wide receiver that the Ravens will be down. And also, if Marquise Brown is unable to play, well, what are the Ravens looking at in terms of wide receivers against Kansas City? It's Sammy Watkins, it's James Prochet, it's Tylan Wallace, and then the Ravens are probably potentially calling up Benjamin Victor from the practice squad. Maybe they're calling up both Benjamin Victor and Jalen Moore, but then where does that leave you with the other guys that are protected on the practice squad? And we'll talk about those guys in just a couple minutes here. Pernell McPhee did not practice. He got a veteran day. That's not something I'm really worried about, to be honest. And then the other guys, Marlon Humphrey with a back injury. Hopefully that's not that big of a deal. It doesn't seem like it is. He's just kind of working through it. And Jimmy Smith with an ankle injury, that ankle that he injured in training camp a little over a month ago. It's a good sign that he's back in camp or in practice right now, because he's been kind of accumulating those limited practices. And it seems like he's on track to play on Sunday night against Kansas City. And what a big get that would be with Travis Kelce looming on the horizon, where you don't have to necessarily move Marlon Humphrey around as much, although with the injury to Westry, who knows what's going to end up happening now. So overall, a very, you know, it's discouraging to see all these guys go out with injuries and be limited, not practicing. I understand the Ravens are bringing in a bunch of guys as well. They actually promoted Devonta Freeman, the running back, to the active roster from the practice squad. They signed Foster Sorrell, the offensive lineman, to the practice squad. They protect quarterback Trace McSorley, running back Le'Veon Bell, offensive lineman Andre Smith. And other than that, it was a defensive guy and inside linebacker Josh Bynes. So those four will be protected. They will not be allowed to be taken off of the Ravens practice squad by another team until next week at the earliest, unless the Ravens don't decide to, or unless the Ravens do decide to protect them again, in which case they wouldn't be able to be taken off again. So those four guys, out of those four, if the Ravens aren't looking at having to bring up someone like a wide receiver or a cornerback, I think that Baltimore will probably bring up Le'Veon Bell and Andre Smith. The Ravens, with Stanley potentially being out, with Tyree Phillips now on IR for a little bit, it seems like the Ravens don't have a lot of tackle depth right now. It's looking like, and let's say Stanley doesn't play, hopefully he does, but let's say he doesn't play, the Ravens are probably moving Alejandro Villanueva back over to the left side and putting Patrick McCurry over on the right side. And so that would be their bookends for Sunday night against Kansas City and for however long Stanley would be out. And I kind of talked about that, I believe it was earlier in the week, where this is what would happen with Tyree Phillips gone if either Stanley or Villanueva were to miss time. So that possibility is looking a little bit, I'm not going to say likely, as we just don't know right now, but it's out there. So we'll see what happens there. And then Bell, with Freeman coming up to the active roster, Trenton Cannon was claimed by the 49ers off of waiver, so he is no longer with the team. It seems like the Ravens maybe wanted to try to sneak him back onto the practice squad, but he played pretty well. I mean, when you look at it that way, he plays well. The Ravens take that risk. They don't have it pay off for them. They're probably looking at Freeman, obviously getting probably the minimum amount of carries, and then followed that's by Murray and then by Tyson Williams. But if Bell comes up, which at this point he might, it seems like he could, the Ravens could be looking to just split up those carries, see what those guys have. And Greg Roman about Tyson Williams said, yeah, the days are gone of having the guys take all the carries or whatever, or something along those lines, and he wants to get everybody involved. And so I think that's what they're going to do. But at the same time, I think he and the rest of the Ravens organization has to understand that, look, Tyson Williams had the hot hand in that Raiders game. And all of a sudden, the Ravens move off of him, go to Latavius Murray. Murray averages 2.8 yards per carry, has a nice touchdown run. But Williams is the hot hand. You know, if Gus Edwards was that guy and he had the hot hand, you have all of a sudden going to Justice Hill for a quarter or two? No, you're sticking with what's hot. So I think that the Ravens should, I guess if that's their actual stance, reevaluate it and just say, hey, look, they have a lot of talented backs, but at the same time, if someone is performing well, I think that that's the guy they should roll with, except in certain situations where maybe it's a situational third and one where you'd rather have Murray out there, or a pass-catching situation where maybe it's Bell or Freeman. So other than that, you know, the Ravens seem to be excited for this game. I know I'm excited for it. I understand the injuries. It puts a dark cloud over everything with just how depleted this team is. But this is a chance for the Ravens to go out there and prove that, hey, these injuries aren't going to define their season. They obviously could, but I know that the Ravens are doing everything in their power to not let that happen. So the injury report, the practice squad protections, all things that are important to talk about. And I'm glad we got to it here first on Locked On Ravens before we do dive into our full game preview, which we will be talking about next in our second segment. So stay tuned for that. But did you know Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever? Did you know Built Bar has so many delicious flavors, including coconut, raspberry, double chocolate, strawberry, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that mint brownie or raspberry or whatever you like. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. And we are back with our second segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstriker still here with you. And now we're going to be getting into the full game preview for the Ravens matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday night. And look, again, this is a tough draw for the Ravens just with everything that's been going on with their organization recently. They have 14 guys on injured reserve at the time of this recording. Maybe when you're watching it, it will be more, but you just never know with when and how injuries happen in football in general. They can happen on any given play, any given practice. So looking at the Ravens offense, keys to the game, storylines, players to watch, and everything else, Ravens offense will have their work cut out for them against the Kansas City defense that at the end of the day has the potential, I'd say, to be a good one. Now, there are holes in the Kansas City defense, the secondary not really up to par. The defensive line has some new pieces. Obviously, Chris Jones is there. The team also likely getting back Tyrann Mathieu, the defensive back, and also Frank Clark, who's a very disruptive player off the edge for them. So there are some talented pieces, but they don't have Willie Gay in this game. He's on injured reserve. They do have rookie Nick Bolton, who actually he was taken with the second round pick that the Ravens gave the Chiefs in the Orlando Brown trade. So just a tiny little fact there. But, you know, it seems like the Ravens just have to execute in a lot of different areas, a lot better in a lot of different areas than they did in week one against the Raiders. I mean, let's look at the facts here. The Ravens went 3-of-12 on third down to start things off. That is not going to win football games at the NFL level. The Ravens have to capitalize on their third down situations, especially against Kansas City. If you're giving the ball back to Kansas City time after time again because you just cannot convert on third down, and maybe it's a third and four or a third and one, and the Ravens are getting stuffed behind the line or there are incomplete passes, and the Ravens go 25% from third down again, I just don't see a way the Ravens can win the game. Now, that's just a pure, you know, down storyline in terms of like what the Ravens have to do on downs. You know, get themselves into second and shorts. That's what the Ravens were really good at doing over these last couple of seasons. Because I think when you look at it, the Ravens and just what they have done as an offense, if they get themselves into second and four, second and two, those situations are a lot easier to convert than second and nine, second and eight. And I know we were talking about this a bit last year with Mark Ingram, where when he was given the ball on first down, it just seemed like every single play it was 1 yard, 2 yard, negative 1 yards. It was stuff like that. So it put the Ravens in those second and long situations instead of second and medium, second and short. And those had an impact because, again, it is a lot easier to convert on a second and short as opposed to a second and long, especially when you have the opportunity to go for getting the first down on two consecutive plays instead of, you know, if it's a second and long, maybe they're trying to get the ball to a third and two or a third and four to get to a third and short, whereas second and shorts give the Ravens opportunities that just wouldn't be open up otherwise. So that's another key storyline. Also, Lamar Jackson in week one against the Raiders, to me at least, was a little hesitant. He was pulling the ball back into his body. It seemed like he knew where he wanted to throw the ball, but maybe it was the pressure. Maybe he just wasn't as confident because he didn't have the reps. I don't know what it was, but Jackson is usually pretty decisive. You know, he knows when it's time to get out of the pocket. He knows when there's a guy open. He sometimes holds the ball for a bit too long, and we did see that a bit in week one against the Raiders. But I'm just going to give him the pass for now and say, look, the decisions obviously did not help. It is on him a bit for the loss against the Raiders. I'm not excusing him from all criticism, but I'm going to say if it happens again this week against Kansas City, then it becomes a bit more of a trend instead of, oh, it was week one. You know, he's just trying to get acclimated and familiar and back into the swing of football things with the limited reps he took in the preseason. So I understand that. But Jackson obviously has to protect the ball a bit better too, those two fumbles. But it all comes back to the protection. I mean, looking at what the Ravens had from a protection standpoint for Jackson, he was getting pressured on, you know, it was over 50% of his dropbacks. The Raiders did a great job. Credit to Las Vegas and what they were able to do. Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, Carl Nassib, and all those players. But overall, the offensive line just has to be better. I thought Bradley Bozeman played well. I thought that Tyree Phillips played well before he got injured. Ben Powers was so-so. Kevin Zeitler had an up and down game. I'd say it was pretty rough in the beginning, got better as the game went on though. Alejandro Villanueva, yeah, that was bad. And then Ronnie Stanley also, that was not so great. He got a little better as the game went on, but still not much that I saw to Ronnie Stanley. So at the end of the day, the Ravens, and we talked about this all leading up to 2021, it was, can the Ravens build the offensive line to protect Lamar Jackson? So far, the answer is no. But I think by the end of the year, we're going to be talking about it again. And hopefully everybody will be back healthy and we can say yes. But obviously that Kansas City Chiefs defensive front led by Chris Jones, I mean, that is somebody who just is a matchup nightmare. He's given the Ravens some problems before. And it just seems like the Ravens are still working through those combinations, especially if Stanley isn't able to go. Right, Villanueva has to shuffle. Macari comes in. What happens with left guard? It's going to be Powers, but then if Powers doesn't play well, it's going to be Cleveland. All these different situations where the Ravens, they cannot kick field goals and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That is just, it's just not something you can do. So they have to be able to execute in the red zone. Lamar Jackson was one of the most efficient red zone quarterbacks in the NFL during the 2020 season. Obviously didn't throw his first red zone interception until that Buffalo game in the playoffs. But getting back to the offensive line, it was, you know, on the offensive line in the Buffalo game, Lamar Jackson was feeling pressure every snap, it felt like. The snaps weren't great, which, to be fair, in week one in 2021 was a lot better. Bradley Bozeman did a pretty good job at that, and it was a nice, refreshing thing to see. But the offensive line, we saw what that did to Lamar Jackson. Guys were open. Lamar Jackson just could not get the ball to them, especially to Marquise Brown when he was streaking across the field to the left side. Lamar Jackson, you know, Tyree Phillips misses a block. J.K. Dobbins misses a block. That ball does not get completed for a touchdown. The next play, it's a pick six. So it's plays like those where the offensive line is so important, where it's, oh, Jackson throws the incompletion. But no, in reality, Jackson was pressured and had two guys in his face within 2 seconds of the snap. So it's going to be key for the Ravens offensive line to be better in that regard. I talked about the red zone a little bit there. That's also going to be very important. Tyrann Mathieu, if he is indeed back for the Chiefs team, he is the leader of that defense, or at least one of them. He does a lot of good things communication-wise, getting the defense lined up. And there are some other guys who do that too. But the Ravens have the potential to put up points on this Kansas City offense or defense, even though they don't have some of their pieces like J.K. Dobbins and like Gus Edwards. And who knows, maybe Marquise Brown isn't in this one. Obviously, Rashad Bateman's on injured reserve right now. So they have guys who are out, but they also have guys who are talented and now have a week in that system, such as Latavius Murray. Hopefully Tyson Williams gets more carries. Sammy Watkins had a really strong showing in week one. Can he continue that in week two against his old team in the Kansas City Chiefs? So there is potential. The Ravens can put up points on this Kansas City defense, but there is a difference between what Kansas City did in the first half of their week one game against Cleveland and what they did in the second half of their week one game against Cleveland. Kansas City's defense in week one against the Cleveland Browns was not good at all. And I had tweeted out, I said, hey, look, if the Chiefs defense plays like that, the Ravens can put 40 on them. And obviously, no, I don't expect them to play like that, especially because they had Tyrann Mathieu out. They had Frank Clark out. And they tightened up in the second half, played a lot better football. They got the crowd into it. They made some special teams plays. But that's just what it is. It's all these swing momentum plays where maybe if the Ravens are facing a third and long, they can get back in the game. Let's go back to Tennessee, the Tennessee wildcard game, where the Ravens look to be down and out early. They get down to Tennessee, and it's a third down. I forget the yardage, but I think it was a third and long. And Lamar Jackson rolls out to the right. you know, kind of throws a ball to Mark Andrews for a first down. It was kind of like people were hopeless on that play. It was like, oh, Lamar Jackson's rolling out. There's nobody open. But Jackson rolls out, makes a phenomenal throw to Andrews, and that sparks them. That was the spark play for me in that game. So if there's a spark play for this Ravens team, if they can get up and stick to their identity, they also have to stick to their identity even if they get down in this game. We've seen the Ravens a couple times, and even against Kansas City is a prime example. They'll go away from what their bread and butter is, which is the run game. And no, that does not mean the Ravens have to run 50 times and throw the ball three times. That's not what's going to happen. But the Ravens, it seemed like in week one, and this happened a bit towards the middle beginning-ish, kind of after week one and week two of the 2020 season, where it seemed like Lamar Jackson and Greg Roman and the Ravens offense was just trying to force the ball to be thrown a bit, when in reality, we all know that they're a better running team right now than they are a passing team. Now, that can obviously change with time and everything, but the Ravens, they should not go against what they know that they can do, and that is run the football, even though they don't have their guys from 2020. I understand that. It's a big issue, but that's the way to kind of work them in, is getting them acclimated, giving them carries, and the Ravens were doing some good things. I mean, they averaged over 5 yards per carry on the ground. Just pulling it up here, for the Ravens in particular, this team averaged 5.6 yards per carry on the ground in week one. So it's not like they weren't running the football effectively in week one. They just seemed to go away from it. Lamar Jackson throws 30 passes. The Ravens run the ball 34 times. The Ravens also lose the time of possession battle against the Raiders, which I talked about it with the week leading up to this game, or the Raiders game, which was the Ravens usually win the game if they win the time of possession battle, and they did not do that, and they lose the game. So they were getting away from that. They get up 14-0 very early in this game, and they don't use that ball control offense. Now, obviously, when you're ball control offensing in the first, second quarter, as opposed to the fourth quarter, it's a little different, because obviously the teams at the NFL level can come back and do that. But the Ravens just stay true. Hopefully they stay true to what they can do and what they know they can do. But right now there are a bunch of those unknowns, because they don't know how Latavius Murray completely fits in yet, how Devonta Freeman completely fits in yet, Le'Veon Bell, if he's called up, the offensive line as well. We've mentioned those shufflings that they've been doing. So there's a lot to learn. You know, there's a lot for everybody to learn about the Ravens. There's a lot for the Ravens to learn about themselves. So hopefully we will see some of that learning come to fruition, and they will be able to kind of find their identity, which I think if they start to throw the ball a bit more and they start to force it a little bit, it's going to be, are they really going away from their identity once again, which we know they can run the football effectively while also throwing it as complement to that running game, and then also helping, and that helps the pass game feed off of the run game, and obviously the run game feed off of the pass game. So Chris Jones, a player to watch on the Kansas City defense, same with Tyrann Mathieu. Juan Thornhill is a young up-and-coming player who I think is really, really good. The cornerbacks are a bit susceptible to stuff, but I think that with the Ravens and what they can do, they can put points up on this Kansas City defense. It's just a matter of, can they stay true to their identity and get the right pieces in to be able to do that for this team. We're going to head into our final break, though. And when we get back, we're going to be diving into the Ravens defense going up against the Kansas City offense. So stay tuned for that. But we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And we are back with our final segment of this Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher is still here with you. And we're now going to be diving into the Ravens defense, taking on that Kansas City offense that has given Baltimore so many issues over these last 3 years. The Ravens are obviously hoping that that is not the case anymore, and that they can get over that hump and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And it'll be a primetime matchup. Looking at this Ravens defense, though, the Ravens, I think, are still trying to figure out how their defense works without Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters is a big part of what the Ravens do on the defensive side of the ball. And it really shows, you know, his football IQ, as we've talked about, his game sense, his threat to take into the house every time. It's all stuff that is sorely missed. And Anthony Averett, I want to give credit to Anthony Averett. He stepped up in a big way. Anthony Averett, my prediction, or at least one of them, is he is going to get paid when he is up for a contract extension, which is at the end of this year. So there's going to be a lot of teams, I think, vying for his services. I think it'd be smart for the Ravens to re-sign him, especially with the injuries that the team has gone through with the cornerback position. But him and Marlon Humphrey are not as bad as a quarterback duo or a cornerback duo as a lot of people might think that they would be. Averett played phenomenally against the Raiders in week one, and that will have to carry over to week two with weapons such as Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman on that Chiefs offense, and obviously the one who makes it all work in Patrick Mahomes. Now, Mahomes eats up blitzes, right? The Ravens, it's going to be hard for them to actually blitz and be effective against Mahomes. He takes a step or two steps, kind of shuffles away from that pressure, throws the football, or he'll roll out, take the short stuff. He'll make plays happen with his legs. He does a lot of different things that can really help the Chiefs put some points up on the Ravens defense. Now, in terms of the run, I don't think the run is going to be a huge factor in this one. The Chiefs are also dealing with a lot of new people on their offensive line, new pieces there. Five different starters from their guys last season, namely Orlando Brown, the former Ravens offensive tackle who will be making his second career start for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he'll be playing that left tackle position. Brown was charted for five pressures from Pro Football Focus's Mike Renner, that tied for the most in his career to date. So he's still adjusting, obviously. The Chiefs are an air raid offense. They love to throw the football. The Ravens are a ground and pound team, so it's a scheme adjustment for sure. And so there are all those guys on the offensive line that the Ravens hopefully could be able to take advantage of from a pass rushing and run defense perspective, but they're going to have to do better than they did in week one against the Raiders. Because looking at it from that perspective, fourth quarter, overtime, the Ravens just could not get pressure, whether they were rushing four, five, six, seven, cover zero, whatever they were throwing it, the Raiders, it was not getting pressure most of the time. And that was when the Ravens needed their pass rush the most. The Ravens threw cover zero with the Raiders. I believe it was around 18%, and no other team did more than 12%. So that's about a 6% difference. The Ravens love their blitzes, but I think Don Martin is going to have to scale them back a bit and rely on guys like Justin Houston and Adafe Owe. Adafe Owe played really, really good football against the Raiders in week one. And that's a great sign because everybody's talking about, oh, he doesn't sack the quarterback. He had no sacks at Penn State in 2020. That stuff is garbage now. It's gone. So he is someone, you know, John Harbaugh just called it the talk of relevant pretty much. So I think always going to be a huge X factor in this one. But I think the matchup I'm looking for in particular, I'm going to say it's Patrick Queen. Patrick Queen versus Patrick Mahomes. And why would I put the linebacker up with the quarterback? It's because Mahomes had a field day against Queen. He was moving him around. Queen didn't really understand what was happening in 2020. And that's because, look, Queen was a rookie in his third NFL game. He needed a little bit of work coming out of college with certain things. The Ravens did not have the NFL didn't have a preseason. They also didn't have a lot of training camp due to COVID. So Queen was really working with, at that time, if you want to chalk it up and you want to put the preseason back in there, his third preseason game. Now, really, it was the third week of the regular season. So the Queen was, it was not a good game for him. I'd call it his worst game as a pro. It was not great. But Queen looks like a better and faster player on the field. He looks like he understands the game more, like the game has slowed down for him. So I'm really, really excited to see what he can do in this game in particular, because he's going to be needed. We saw that delayed blitz where he was looking like he dropped back into coverage. I guess it wasn't delayed, but he looked like he was dropping back into coverage and then screamed through the middle. The center moves away because he thinks Queen is dropping back into coverage. He sacks Derek Carr. It's plays like those that have to happen. And actually, someone mentioned something to me about the Ravens and potentially looking out for some trick plays from Kansas City. Remember last year when Eric Fisher, the Chiefs' left tackle, caught a touchdown from Patrick Mahomes? Well, their left tackle this year is none other than Orlando Brown. Maybe the Ravens might have to look at Orlando Brown as a potential receiving target. Now, obviously, there's not a likely chance of that going on, but people thought there wasn't a likely chance of Eric Fisher catching a touchdown, and look what happened. So all these different things, the Chiefs have a ton of trick plays, a ton of plays that throw teams off of the scent of what they're trying to do, because it'll be all this different stuff and they'll move guys around, they'll motion, they'll give the ball to people in places you would never expect it. So that's something the Chiefs do really, really well. Rushing four is going to be the best part of this, though, or at least the most important part of this game for the Ravens. It's so, so, so important. That's going to be a huge key because they have to do it. We see what the Los Angeles Chargers have done over the past couple of seasons against the Chiefs, and it makes Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable. The key is to make him uncomfortable, make him make some bad mistakes or confuse him into making some bad decisions. That's how you're going to beat the Chiefs on offense. There's no stopping completely this Kansas City offense. Going back to what the Chiefs did in the playoffs a couple years ago against the Houston Texans, they were down 24-0, or they were down by 24 points and put up those 24 points in an entire quarter. And that's what we've seen also from this Kansas City offense. They'll have like a big quarter and then they'll kind of settle down. Now, whether that's in the second quarter or the fourth quarter or whatever quarter, it varies. But if the Ravens can kind of stop that and stop the bleeding, if the Chiefs score a touchdown and a field goal, they have the ball back. If the Ravens can stop them from scoring again and just giving the ball back to their offense, that's going to be really, really key. I think Calais Campbell, you know, Brandon Williams as well with Derek Wolfe out, Justin Madubuike, my breakout pick, he's my guy. And it just seems like he didn't get a lot of run in that game against the Raiders. He made a couple of nice plays, but those guys are going to have to generate pressure from the interior. And obviously, how do you stop Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill? You know, putting help over the top against Tyreek Hill, chipping Travis Kelce at the line. What can you do to stop Kelce from catching 9-yard plays and turning them into 16-yard plays? What can you do from stopping Tyreek Hill from beating you deep? It starts with the pressure. It all comes back to the pressure. So when looking at my final score predictions for this game, this is a game I had the Ravens winning about a month ago before the injury started. I now have them losing. You know, with everything that's been going on, I think the Ravens do fall to 0-2 here. I think it's going to be 33-27. That's my actual final score prediction. I think the Ravens stay in this game. Maybe the box score and the actual final score indicates it's a bit closer than anticipated. But, you know, with the injuries, they're still trying to figure out things on the offensive line with the running backs, cornerbacks with Westry now out and Peters. There's just so much that's going on. And if this game happened in week six, week seven, my answer might be a bit different. But they're figuring it out. They're going up against one of the best offenses in the NFL. They're going up against a defensive unit that is underrated in some aspects and struggles in others. So there is opportunity for the Ravens to score some points. But I just don't see the Ravens winning this. They fall to 0-2 in my book. But let's be clear, and I want to be clear about this. 0-2 for the Ravens does not mean the season is over. This season is very long. It's an extended regular season. So a lot of people, if they see the Ravens staring 0-2 in the face in the fourth quarter, it's 30-10 Kansas City or whatever, there might be a lot of panic. And I understand why. You know, 0-2 is never a fun place to start. There's a lot of climbing back that has to be done there. But with the guys getting familiar with each other each and every week, the Ravens still put up 27. They still arguably should have won that game in regulation. Now they didn't. Obviously things happened and the Ravens are 0-1 right now. But I do think even if the Ravens do fall to 0-2, they will be fine this regular season. It might not be the season everybody was expecting, especially with all the guys that have been out. But the Ravens have been a resilient team for a very long time. They have proved countless people wrong. And I think that even though 0-2 is a rough spot to be in, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, they can definitely do some things. And with the schedule they have coming up, it would be a couple of bounce back weeks, hopefully against the Lions and the Broncos. And then they can go from there, get some guys back from injury, obviously, and hope that everything works out for them at the end of the day. But my final score prediction for the Ravens and the Chiefs game on Sunday night in week two is 33-27 with the Kansas City Chiefs coming out on top. But that's all that I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. We're going to take a two-day break again. If you want to subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow us anywhere you get your podcasts audio-wise, I'd greatly appreciate it. When we get back here on Monday after our two-day break, we'll be getting into what happened in that Kansas City Chiefs and Baltimore Ravens Sunday night matchup. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.